Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is February the 21st, 2021, Sunday. And I have the honor to have Professor Paul on with us. And we're just going to bounce off of the headlines today and what we've seen during the week and what people need to understand about the spin doctors on Sunday morning news. Now, Paul, welcome. And I'm going to let you take off and run with what you've seen all week. And heard.
Well, I know that you have watched Sunday Morning, which gives the headlines for the week and what they're going to push. I do want to incorporate that into my first headline, which is they've messed with Texas big time, and the grid in Texas was not set up or sub-zero weather, and they did not foresee sub-zero weather because most people remain in denial about geoengineering, about weather warfare, and what the government, and notice that I don't call it our government. It is not our government. As a matter of fact, I'm not even sure we have a government now. If it's Dopey's government, it's the KKKP, and it's the KKKP New World Order that's Dopey is just Barry's third term, and they, I think, have long recognized that Texas is independent and not going to go along to get along, because at least in Texas, it's really rough country. It's not easy to live in Texas. You know, you've got a number of different climate zones, but for the most part, it doesn't go sub-zero for a week, and then you get rain, and then sleet, and then snow, and then more cold. It was a very deliberate act of geoengineering weather warfare, and a lot of people in Texas have real problems right now, and it's going to be really, I think, impossible to get any truth about the number of deaths. But the reality is that you've got home after home after home after home that's got busted pipes. And the thing about busted pipes, and you probably know this, Stu, you know, you think you figured out where the leak is, and you know, you do what you need to do to fix those where the pipe is busted, and then you find out, oh man, there's four more pinholes throughout the house.
Once it freezes, you got broken pipes, you got places all throughout, multiple places, not just one. So it's just time to get the plastic out and start running the new new plastic that they use for hot and cold water. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I knew you would pick up on that. And what I'm suggesting is, hey, I've had water damage twice in my home, once in my basement, and in the Bold North, we can get little Cheetah, we can get Joffrey on in 3 minutes, so he'll join us here if you want to include him. And I explained to him we were doing the headlines. So regarding water damage, when you have water damage, you really have to be thorough in your assessment, and you can't be overconfident. That, in other words, I think what you just said is pretty accurate.
Boy, as a contractor, going in and doing a complete remodel on some of these homes have been sitting there, and might as well just replumb it, because you go to fix one, I've done it, there's another one, it's time to stop. Go ahead.
Yeah, redo. So now they're going to turn the water back on, but one of the problems with turning the water back on, of course, is you got so many places that the water is going to then eventually thaw, and you got to shut off your water, and and toilets that froze. I mean, there are sanitation issues. This is, you know, Warren Buffett of Berkshire Hathaway likes to refer to it as disaster capitalism. And, of course, eventually, though, disaster capitalism only works for the very few. It just continues to break down the wealth of the middle class and anyone below middle class. And I personally, I don't even know what middle class is. I used to think I was possibly, maybe, middle class. And I'll admit, hey, I owe back taxes to one state, and I've got a tax liability I'm looking at. I'm not middle class. I can't even make a budget anymore. It is just, and if I'm saying that, and I spent my whole life as a gamer, thinking that maybe I was, you know, smart enough to play their game, I can't play their game anymore. They're burying me. And if I'm buried, I think most of us are buried. But what can you conclude on this, what they've done to Texas? I think they're going to do it to every state. They're going to shut off power. They're going to use every means possible. They're going to use their smart meters, which are anything but smart. They should be called diabolical. I mean, they invert everything. What they call smart is really stupid for us. And any word that they use, like inclusivity and sustainability and resiliency and unity and equality, all of these amorphous, these words that are nebulous, that can be mental, you know, sustainability. So Bill Hayes is going to get on 60 Minutes tonight and talk about climate change, because you see, this whole Texas deal was really climate change. Now, you know some things about the Earth and its rotation and moon and its alignment, and you think that possibly the Earth now is wobbling in a way that it wasn't previously, and the moon's now at a different frequency to the Earth, and you got Mars and the Sun doing unusual things. What can you do with Texas, and then we'll move on to our next topic?
It's all weather wars, and it's hard. And I refer to Otis Johnson Super Spook a lot because we had many talks. As he said, when Joplin, Missouri, I believe it was, or whatever town it is down near there, was wiped out about 5, 6, 7 years ago, maybe longer, maybe 10 years. The whole town, 80% of the people vanished. Of about, I think it was 65,000, 70,000, disappeared. They found paperwork from people's homes, utility bills, mail from their homes. They found in yards in St. Louis, clear across the state. Now, I was talking to Otis. I said, what did they do down in Joplin? I said, from what I could see, it looked like Harvey. He says, you damn right it was. He said, they're using his weather now, killers.
Well, you got to call him.
Okay.
I need to call Sue.
Oh, you're on. You're on.
He's on.
Welcome, okay, Jeff. Anyway, they call it weather modification. He said they're going to use it as the weapon to kill people, masses. Now, they did it with hurricanes.
Let's do what now?
Otis Johnson had told me in a conversation, after they hit Joplin or whatever it was down here in Missouri, south of me, a ways.
Yeah.
That when they blew that town away several years back, that was
with the tornado.
With the tornado. That was weather wars.
Okay. Yeah,
that was their HAARP weather wars, he said, and Bush intends on, as he refers to it, Bush, meaning the fallen ones. They're going to continue doing this in the mass to kill masses of people at a time. He says, wait until the hurricane season comes. Well, we've seen that. And what we saw in Florida, what, a year ago? Wipe out that down there in the panhandle. How many people got hit there? Around 80,000 disappeared. Where are they at? Where are they at, folks? I mean, you're talking 200 mile an hour, 150 mile an hour tornado or hurricane come at you. Hit your town, you're dead, you're toast. You're going to be pulled apart, flying someplace, and they might find some paperwork upstream from you like they did in the St. Louis area, as I was explaining, Jeff.
Okay.
People's homes from that one in Joplin. I think it was Joplin, that was the town next to it. Now, that was a long time ago. You look at what they're doing, and you look at how you can see it on a weather channel. You can see it on your local weather, the way the jet stream moves. The jet stream always dips down in the winter, in the Midwest, and it comes out of the Northwest, and it goes back to the Northeast. It doesn't come along the coast of California and do a left hook or a right hook, whatever you want to call it, shoot across to Arizona, pick up stuff in Texas, and then shoot northwards up towards Minneapolis, as an example, across Kansas, Missouri, and Nebraska. Now, you're north of me. You're up in the Lincoln area. I'm in Kansas City, and Paul's in Minneapolis. And we've all been hit hard this year. Our weather just is totally different. Now, Paul's getting snow today. We're getting rain right now after having down zero. We're up around 30 with it raining out here. Possibility turning some sleet and snow today. But tomorrow's supposed to be 45, 50 degrees. I mean, it's wild to see what the weather's doing. But watch the jet stream. It's the whole key. They've modified it with HAARP, the high aurora frequency machine up there by the hole where the Alaskan pipeline is. Now, who put it up there? Well, the Alaskan pipeline lease was John King of King Resources of Denver, had the lease on it. And he got hooked up with Millman because they were chasing the leases that people were getting because you had to go through the government. And it was an auction basis at the time. And you put up $200 or $300 or $300 or whatever it was to apply for a lease, to be on the lease auction. And if you were awarded the lease, then you could do things with the lease, such as you could sublease it to an oil company to do drilling and other things. That's how they got the Alaskan oil slope. And it tied in with a Bank of Chicago, which had collapsed back in the 70s. And that's when they took the oil lease. And King had it. Later, King supposedly was upside down, and he wasn't. And the story was a little bit different than what I first heard to know the truth about it. But King was taken out so they could steal the oil lease. Millman and Bush and the rest of them. And Robert O. Anderson of Arco Oil, Atlantic Richfield Oil Company, Arco, was the one that did the lease and the drilling on the North Slope. Well, here's the key. We paid for it as taxpayers for this big pipeline, the Alaskan pipeline, to come down to America, and we're not getting any of the oil. It's all being shipped to Japan and to one refinery in California where they're filling the oil tankers for them for free. That was Leonard Millman's. Now it's Larry Mizell's refinery. Now, the rest of it goes to Japan. It's supposed to be coming to America. But here's the whole key to that lease. There's six corporations on the front end receiving money. One of them is a corporation involving Leonard Millman and Daddy Bush. Another one involved Henry Kissinger and one of the other 12 disciples. All the 12 disciples of Satan are getting a chunk of the oil money, the first 10%, before anybody else gets paid. Now, it now belongs to Arco Oil, or not Lank Richfield, but British Petroleum, because they consolidated and condensed their corporations. Now, they put, back in the 1970s, they created HAARP, the High Aurora Frequency Project. They put it up there by the Alaskan pipeline on that lease, oil lease property. And it was alien technology. Aliens found angel technology that they did for future modification of the weather, of which in 2006 was the first time they moved the jet stream. They were using it for other things that I have no idea about, except now it's being used to move the jet stream and to cause weather wars and to cause the kind of freezes we're having and the change of the climate and everything else. Now, there's another part to this. As long as they have an active volcano erupting, of which they can make happen with their alien technology, they got all the energy they need for their grid, they're calling it. their heart, their grit. And they can modify weather all over the world with this thing. Besides that, their intention is they're going to be able to use it as a utility company eventually, folks. It's going to be your future utility company. You just hook up to the grid, and you're going to be hooked up because it's going to supply us with all of our energy needs, is what I've been told. Now,
all of our electricity. Stu, I want to get Charlie on. He knows quite a bit about HARP.
Go ahead.
Charlie, are you able to hear us?
I do, Paul.
You have a unique perspective being in Oregon because it's not just HARP in Alaska. You've actually got on one of the mountains between you and, I want to say, Mount Hood. What sort of technology have they created in Oregon to steer the weather around where you are?
Well, the weather's been around here actually pretty nice. I live in this valley that is protected by the mountains that really, it's the Siskiyou's Mountains. And so it pretty much all the weather that has been focused there has been fairly mild. We've had a couple of bad times. But it hasn't really been that different than previous years right now. Actually, it has been milder here than last year and the year before. I used to drive for a company that would go over the Siskiyou's and had to chain up two or three times, and which I'm not doing that job now, so I really don't know how often that they're having to chain up. But my take of all this, you know, we can say the high frequency auroral amplified auroral research program is this conspiracy against mankind to, and it does a lot of things. It helps bankrupt us. It helps to do a lot of things, these research programs. But the major point that I always try to get to in my thinking is, what is God doing through HARP? Why did God allow, let's say, alien technology to be forced on mankind? Why? The why question. So, to me, the why question is because mankind has totally gone away from God. And as going away from God, he's going to use, let's say, turmoil, judgment, tribulation to bring us back to God. So if he's allowed Satan and his hordes to, let's say, create these systems, and he has, then it's for a purpose that God wants to help mankind through tribulation cry out to him for salvation. To me, that's the bottom line. What do you think, Paul?
I think I want to hear Joffrey's analysis, because this is something that we've been probing, and you're impressive in your cogency and your directness. Joffrey, what do you say about what Charlie is proposing there?
Well, I think Charlie's right on. And we've just in this, probably this last several months, you know, I may be a little bit further back, but I've taken an interest for some reason in really, and partly we've our discussions too, but with the minor prophets, and you know, with the minor prophets, you always get the story behind kind of what's coming, and so there's always a warning, and Charlie's right. I think that's just a setup to say, hey, mankind has run amok. Man left his own devices, is capable of so much destruction. But yet, within the realm of God, accepting this, to allowing this to be. So Charlie is totally right. If you get the warning, you know, you're going to get the locusts. You're going to get the locusts are going to come, and yay, three times, you know, four times. So the repetition of warning that happens, there's that impending judgment, but there's also the repentance part. and there's the time to make it right. But the judgment will come. I know it's pretty darn rare they ever escape, but once God puts the writing on the wall, the event is pretty much fixed, with the exception that we've talked about. God can relent. God can say, okay, I'm gonna give an expanse of time. What do you do with that block of time is the other thing. But anyway, total agreement with what Charlie just said. I think we're seeing the allowance of these things, of the supernatural realm. I just don't see how man comes up with this stuff on his own. You know, you could set me with books in front of me as a kid, and there's no way I'm going to create some of these things, or any of us, in my opinion, are going to come to a conclusion that we can make jumps in technology that we have seen without some kind of intervention that would be divine in nature, be it good or demonic. But these jumps in technology, and it talks about in the last times how they'll accelerate, you know, man's wisdom will accelerate in the last days. So we are seeing the culmination of events happening quicker and faster and more sophisticated. So I concur with Charlie's point.
You know,
do you want to move to the next headline, or do you want to give a concluding remark on weather warfare, geoengineering, acceleration, radiation management? We do know that Bill Hayes is coming on 60 Minutes, and they're going to give him a major time slot, and Bill Hayes is going to talk about solar radiation management and how all this is climate change. That's my final say for this segment, unless you want to add something, Stu.
I do. There's a couple of things I want to add because, you know, I was taught by people in the CIA, various agencies, to watch Sunday morning news because it leads the agenda for the week, close quote. Now, I watch Chris Wallace because he's Mr. Mossad. He's an Israeli Mossad agent. His father, 60 Minutes every night, Mike Wallace, Mossad agent back in the 60s and 70s. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, lying punk. He comes on, puts on a show every Sunday morning. I monitor him, and I monitor that Margaret. I can't stand to look at her, can't stand her voice. She's so demonically possessed on the other channel, Margaret Brenner, by the way. And I know that they're monitoring my radio show because of reactions that I'm seeing and things that are happening from time to time within the media. They try to spin something that we put out here. Now, we've been talking about HARP this past week, weather modification, and all of a sudden Bill Gates comes on this morning with Chrissy Poo Wallace, I call him, the little Mossad stooge. He comes on there and talks his climate change this morning. And he's an expert in it now, just like he's an expert in getting everybody vaccinated, and he's killed how many worldwide? Hell, we were doing numbers one day, like 20 million people he's killed by making sure he gets them vaccinated for everything on the planet, and his shots kill him instantly. I think it's India, INDIA, has arrest warrants for him for murder. Now, he comes on TV spilling this crap now. He's the expert in climate change. And then they got Tony Fauci on here, the little stooge that wants to get everybody vaccinated. And he's talking about, oh, we're going to have 300 million doses ready to do 300 million people by the end of the year. All Americans will be vaccinated, he says. Hey, all I can tell you is, punk, come to my front door with your needle. Guess what? I got the Second Amendment waiting for your ass, punk. That's what I feel about your vaccination and your mark of the beast. All we saw was two stooges this morning putting on their crap, and then, of course, they got to bring, always on, their commentaries. Someone to make noise. Supposedly a person called a reporter who puts out their fictitious spin doctor crap and stuff for the week. What were they talking about? Oh, Mitch McConnell's ex-aide. Mitch McConnell, isn't he in the news lately, folks? Isn't he kind of in trouble for not supporting Trump? Isn't that kind of what the deal is? But, oh, Josh is going to soften it for him. He's going to soften Mitch McConnell and soften the incident with Ted Cruz running off to Mexico on a warm vacation while his state was freezing, okay, which has been out in the news. Give him a little something to talk about, because why? He supported Trump, Ted Cruz, so they have to play the smash on him. Who do they use? Well, besides this Josh Holman as their commentary at the end, they use a, listen to this name, folks. Her name is Christian Solstice Anderson. Christian, she's a Christian, but she has the middle name Solstice. What's the solstice? Well, it's the shortest day of the year and the longest day of the year, and it happens to be that that's the biggest time for Satan to do his holidays, parties. Drink the blood of children and humans and animals. This is what we see for so-called news of a day on the major networks. This crap. Oh, my God.
Now, we live in an asylum. Charlie and...
now, Charlie Jeff Mate, if I may make a... If I may hear it, Paul, for a moment. Charlie made a very good point, and I'm in agreement with him. Look, if we continue down the path of these wicked ways, we're going to be destroyed. Period. Mankind will. We can change it. Now, I had a long talk last night with Chris and Elaine. And suddenly, she had prayed about my refrigerator problem. The refrigerator died, folks. I caught him changing the meters on all this place and putting in smart meters. It's coming out of my unit. It knocked my refrigerator down. I'm telling her about it. I go over to open up the refrigerator. It's been dead all day. And all of a sudden, it pops on. Oh, I prayed over the situation, Sue. And I open up the freezer and feel the meat, and it's half thawed out. Good God. Earlier, it wasn't that way. That smart meter technology, they can shut off anybody. They don't like me, folks, because of this program. They don't like me, period, because I'm not playing their game. Now, what Charlie has said is very significant, because I'm talking to Delane and Chris last night. And Chris tells me for the past 3 days, you haven't heard from me, Stu. I've been in prayer. God's had me in prayer. And he's led me and guided me and showed me what's going to happen in this country. It's going to go downhill and continue unless we turn from our wicked ways, he says. The country has to go through these pains. And he said God showed him that Trump's not over with and the situation with Trump isn't over with yet. But it deals with people, whether they want to get on their hands and knees and start praying or not is what is going to come down to. And if they do, we're going to be successful. We're going to be successful in the wind. They're going to lose. They're going to be totally exposed and they're going to totally lose. But we have to keep the noise level up. Now, if you haven't noticed, all the people kicked off of Facebook and Twitter and every place else, they don't have a platform anymore to go out there and say anything. That's what the agenda is by the middle of the year. And Whitney Webb has written a pretty good story about it on Unlimited Hangout. The second thing is, oh, they're going to take everybody's guns by the end of the year. And they're going to vaccinate everybody by the end of the year. It's not going to happen underneath my watch. And I know it's not going to happen underneath other people, especially like our mutual friend Grant, ex-Marine. We've had a discussion about this. When they come to get the guns, or they come to put the needles in, the party starts with me and him, and many others. And I know a lot of ex-Marines, I know a lot of ex-military people, and they have the same attitude. The party's going to happen. So, the question is when does it start? Go ahead, Paul.
Wow. Well, I think that you've introduced the other two topics from the headlines, and let's go to Charlie now. Charlie, we're talking about gun grab. We're talking about vaccinations. You want to weigh in with an opinion, or you want Joffrey to start it off? Charlie,
you still there? We may have lost him. Jeff, you still there?
I'm here. Yep.
Go ahead, comment on it, would you?
Gun grab. I'm totally, you know, we're seeing such a rush and such a mounting of purchases all over the country with people that are purchasing guns. I don't know how you put the genie back in the bottle in the sense that, you know, you got to ask why. What is it that they are doing that for? Now, you get the news saying, hey, they're going to come out with taxation maybe per per box of ammunition, there's going to be a tax of $800 on each weapon or firearm you hold. They're creative in their way of trying to take things away, and it's always through legislation. They want to get their foot in the ground, and they want to overreach, but then they'll come back and say, look, we want this, we'll be acquiesced to this. But it's always pushing forward, and it never stops. And they know that we gun owners in this country who are patriotic are labeled. They have labeled us, but they also know that we have the same concerns, or that they would have the same concerns that the Japanese did, in that, yeah, you try to take over America and you got a gun behind every blade of grass. So, you know, I think they know they're up against something that if they poke the bear, they bring upon themselves, and I say themselves, I'm talking about the heads of government. I think they understand the implications. Now, the question is, when do they want to accelerate that? And I think that's where we're in this kind of standoff. So now they realize, well, crap, now everybody's got a firearm out there, and some multiple of that. How do we legislate a way to take these away from people without a civil war happening? So that's the first avenue, is we'll do it through legislation. If we can't get it done that way, we're gonna have a day of reckoning with the collection.
Wow, spot on. Charlie, can you, I show that you're still available. Can you comment? You have always been ahead of the game on everything with me. Sometimes I don't look at headlines, because you just got to let me know what's going to happen in advance. What do you think about the gun grab Second Amendment? Where are we at? All right. Well, Charlie tells me he can hear us, but we can't hear him speak, and he says he's not muted. All right. So I want to bring up something that I thought was fairly interesting. Barry, back when he was president, and I don't know if the year is 2010 or 2011, but there was a lot of preparation with UN troops here training on American soil. We've been sold out for so long. We're a captured operation. It's tag and bag it. And all these UN troops were training for the gun grab. And Barry or someone had gone to Putin, whoever Putin is at this point. I think he's inhabited by a fallen one right now. But anyway, they said, Russia, we'd like to make the gun grab now. And Russia came back and said, we estimate that the casualty rate for Russian soldiers would be far, far too high at this point. So no, we will not provide the number of troops that you've requested for the gun grab. And that would have been 2010, 2011. So where are we at now? I wonder how awake people are, and we can get into this on the vaccines in just a minute, but I think, Joffrey, you nailed it. I think we all know if they show up in the middle of the night, which they very well could.
You blow their head off. I have this David and Goliath attitude. Maybe it's because of my Marine Corps training. But my attitude is, you come to take my gun or come to vaccinate me, bring harm to me or any family member or friends, your ass is cooked. I've undergone attempted assassinations too many times. They get too close to me now, they blow up right on the street, or they get the bullet in the head. Make my day, yippee-ki-yay, punks. That's my attitude. And I got God with me. I think sometimes during my anger sessions when they're trying to do me, but you try to do me again, punks, I'm taking you down. I think you're realizing that. That's the attitude I've got. And it's because I know what we're up against, Paul. It's huge. And look, there's 300 million Americans. 50%, someplace around probably 80 to 90%, based on former reporting that I saw in the past 2-3 years. Of the American people. These were polls. 90% of them don't believe the federal government, I think was the last poll about 2-3 years ago. They don't believe them. They don't believe public officials. Now, we've got 300 million Americans. Say if we got 50%, which I believe is the number, that are truly awake based on what the internet produces and how much noise is going around out there. There's about 50% of the American people are somewhat awake to what the hell is going on, and they don't like it. Most of them were the Trump supporters, in my opinion. Now, okay, that means we got 150 million Americans that don't like what's going on. Wow, that's a damn hell of an army. If everybody's packing and we go in to take out the enemy, if we ever get attacked, no matter how many UN troops they send into America, their asses are toast if everybody comes to the party. They're awake. Think about it, folks. Thou shalt not kill, but self-defense is a different issue. And an offense is a different issue when it comes to they're out to kill you. Does God forgive you for that? I think so. That's my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong. If I am, Lord, I want to hear from you about it.
Joffrey, you had something to add there.
Yeah, real quick, a couple things. You know, I think on the thou shalt not kill is different than thou shalt not murder. And murder and killing are two different things. So I would say that, you know, God is not against killing in a just sense. Now, murder's another thing, but killing is not. So I don't have a conscious issue with that. At one time, I struggled with that, but, you know, I don't now. But you think about, you know, the art of war, and you guys are familiar with the book, The Art of War. I know you are. And, you know, it's knowing your enemy and knowing the weaknesses of the enemy and knowing what you're up against. And I think you look at the American people, and, you know, it's kind of like stirring up hornet's nest. I think if they knew there was an invader to the country, I think their mindset would be different than if they thought their own military was coming to collect or because it was a legislative event. But is it really any different? Is it really any different if the government uses its muscle and uses the branches of the military who are at their
The United States military is what? Up to how many people? What do we got total? I don't know, but it used to sit around 3 million, 4 million. And we got 150 million awake. And how many do we have in the military, Jeff?
I don't know what military number. Paul, do you have a weigh-in on that?
Yeah, so we're about 2.2 active duty, and we're about 1.8 million reservists. But remember, once you get into reservists, it's kind of a variable scale, because are you going to call back a 40-year-old?
Okay, call it 5 million people. Call it 5 million people, okay, in the military. And we've got 150 million out here that are probably truly somewhat awake and won't allow them to take their guns. We got 150 million man army. And if everybody joined in America, we'd have a 300 million man woman army. Do they really want to take us on? No. I don't think so.
I agree. Go ahead, Paul.
I want to take us a slightly different direction, because Chris in prayer, or Elaine and Chris, they are prayer warriors. I do give them credit. And, you know, I my position on Trumbo. My position is he's either the joker or the jester. And he was selected. And I don't know if there's good, bad, new world order, but I just have trouble believing the narrative that the New York liberal became a white Christian. Now, of course, the whole idea that he's a white Christian nationalist is absurd, because it's all propaganda. He's been spun to be the jester, to be the joker, to be the cog in the wheel. Now, I only bring that up because I have to tell you, I listened to a show, a couple guys who I hold in high regard, And one of this guy, he says he has this dream, and it's a two-part dream, and he's talking about how, well, by the way, see, now I'm getting into almost believing, because he believes in General Flynn. And he says General Flynn was in his dream and told him, what we need from you is you to be the prayer warrior. And anyway, now you got Chris having either a dream or a prayer, and Chris is Aaron. It's not over yet. I have to admit that I am still beyond skeptical and cautious on the trombone. Joffrey, you have an opinion? You want to add something there?
I've been on the other side of it in hope that we would have something, but I guess I was a little bit discouraged in the fact that it sounded like when Trump had his team of lawyers that there was a kind of a little fight that went on in between them, and somebody that just happened to come in and was a witness, and he wrote a book about it later, but he had heard that, you know, he didn't really think that Trump was that upset. He turned to his lawyers and said, then why didn't we do this? Because he had Powell and he had Wood and Flynn, and they were talking with him and saying, hey, we can still do this, we can still do that. And Trump would look over his lawyer and say, why didn't we do that? Why didn't you guys want me to? What am I paying you for? So I'm with you, Paul. It seems like Trump is on board with the Patriots, but he's wearing two hats. And I get back to the fact that I think they got to him personally. I think his intention started out. I saw him attack Hillary. I saw him say some things at the beginning of his campaign. And we're like, wow, this guy means business. And as time went on, he seemed to somewhat kind of fade back on the aggression. And what got him there was that edge that he had. And by the time his term was over, he was a much more docile individual. Now, I don't know if he was getting stoner stew. I don't know what.
Let me tell you.
I don't know.
Let me tell you something. You know, there's 13 above the president, Al Martin, the Iran-Contra whistleblower, I think is dead. I haven't talked to him for years. Tried to reach him. Unavailable. Period. I heard he was murdered in Venezuela, but he wrote a book called The Conspirators. I got it published for him. AlMartinRawl.com. The stories that are going up there are not his. They're his Israeli Mossad writer running his website, and he's dead. But he used to tell me there's 13 above the president, Stu. There's 13 above the president. He never would tell me because Leonard Millman, my ex-wife's father, was one of them. He wouldn't tell me that. Others finally told me, like Otis and other super spooks I came to know, but Martin never told me that. He said, those are the ones controlling the government, the 13 above the president, Stu. 13 disciples of Satan. Now, if you're president of the United States and you're not demon-possessed, your wife claims to be a Christian. She even spills God out of her mouth in the beginning and from various times. Now, he wasn't demon-possessed, and he wasn't evil going in the White House. But I think what happened was he just came to realize the powers that be are to be, and that he had no control over it. If you look at what they tried to do to destroy him in every way, two impeachments, fake trials, fake dossiers, the FBI, stalks of the CIA, FBI, all conspiring against him before and during the election and then after the election. And they come up and they testify before the United States Congress and Senate, House Judiciary, Oversight Committee, and the whole bit. And they get drilled by good people like Jim Jordan of Ohio. They get drilled by Nunes of California, DeSantis of Florida, now the governor, Gatz. They're the only good guys. You could tell by the way that they were questioning and then they were proven they were friggin' liars. That they were lying. And they created all these lies. And they got away with it. And they're still getting away with it. I think that's what happened to Donald Trump. He realized that the powers of be are in control and he had no control.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Look at everything that's transpired since... And the election, stolen in front of the American people, by Dominion Software, servers all over the world, and Westar Satellite, which is the Stonar technology, and they steal the election, they Stonar people, Daddy Bush's private CIA, division number 4 of the CIA, where they run hit teams out of, and they run mind control out of, and they run all kinds of crap out of, including guns and drugs and weapons still to today. That's E-System. It's also known as Raytheon, one of our top 3 defense contractors. And you got a fallen angel, George Herbert Walker Bush, running the fucking company? And that's a defense contractor? Good Lord, come on, where are we at? These people are in control. We have to take the toys away from the boys and put the proper boys in control of the toys. Or we're all going to be cooked. Their intent is to kill all of mankind, 2/3 within a very short period of time. They want 1/3 to be slaves to them. They got your lungs lit up with chemtrails, heavy metals. They got 5G racing across America in 2 networks. And it's electrifying everybody. People just don't know it. They do weather wars. I mean, what are we up against? That's what Donald Trump was up against, folks. And they did what? Right, did the deception. Right in front of everybody. Steal the election and the way the American people, who they wanted in. I would say that we better start thinking defensive, offensive. We start to do things with God, get serious with your prayers against the enemy. And if you don't, you better, and if you don't think you have that power, just ask him. Ask him for one favor. He'll tell you he's real and start serving him. We need warriors in that field. We don't have to pick up guns. We don't have to defend ourselves in that manner. If you're right with God, he'll take care of the problem for you. Can we get enough people to turn this nation back around? I don't know. If it doesn't, I'm going to tell you, we will be battling in the streets for your guns and to keep from being vaccinated. And it will probably be before the end of the year. That's my opinion. I'm not trying to be negative, but I see it coming crystal clear.
And I think it's coming quickly. I want to move to vaccines real quickly here. I have an anecdote to share with you, and I could tell you I'm surprised, but I'm deeply saddened. I've been at this for 48 years. Part of it, I was told I didn't know anything. And at 14, I was smart enough to admit that I didn't. And it really all kind of started with the Roman Catholic Church and the pedophilia and the role that the Vatican and Rome exercise. And that then led me to study all of the primary source writing of the Jesuits and led me to Club of Rome and Report from Iron Mountain and Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars, Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, the Rockefeller Report. All of this is planned. And my anecdote is some of the very same people who have been with me for 40 years. I mean, I even recall in 1982, it was a debacle. I angered people. You know, I said the Federal Reserve was not part of the federal government. I said, and it's not independent, it's private. And, you know, a bunch of just obvious truths that people told me to shut the F up. You don't know what's coming. Shut the F up. And so, you know, over my last 30 years, most people that are close to me, they do not want to hear what I have to say. Well, recently, guess who has been getting in line and taking their first jab? Yep. And it just saddens me. And I am deeply saddened that I think, for as many of us that are aware that it wasn't a lone gunman, Kennedy, it wasn't a lone gunman for RFK, it wasn't a lone gunman for MLK, 9/11 wasn't 19 Arab screw-ups and a guy in a cave on dialysis. And no, a plane didn't hit the Pentagon. I mean, see, it all just gets more outrageous. But I just want to conclude with vaccines. And then Joffrey and Charlie and I had studied a page of scripture recently. And I know Charlie can hear us, but now we don't have audio from him. But on vaccines, you guys, now I am... in James, it talks about having two minds or being double-minded. And now that my people who are close to me, I love, I'm related to, they're taking the jab, you guys, can you believe that now I want to believe that the jab isn't the mark of the beast and it's just a precursor? Now, I know nothing good can come from taking the jab, but I don't want to believe it's the mark of the beast. So, Joffrey, you first, and then Stu, and I wish Charlie could comment because he's always insightful. Anyway, Joffrey, what do you think?
Yeah, it would be good to see what Charlie says. I don't think it's the mark of the beast personally, but I do think it's like we talked about. It's a stepping stone because you have the mouth of the media and what power it has to get its message across. And starting with the religion of the mask and that being a step as well, getting people to be angry if you don't have it on. Well, getting to be angry if you don't take an injection. You're wanting other people to die. You don't want to get an injection. You want people to die. Well, we know, and from what we've heard, there's really nothing in the injection that's really trying to isolate a virus they can't find. People have said it's exomes that you're exhaling, and what you find when your body eliminates conditions that it's fighting against, you are getting off. That's when your nose runs, and you're giving off contaminants from your body. Well, they're taking the contaminant and saying that's the virus under the guise. So we know that we aren't even over the target. But yet we're supposed to take and inject something into our body that you pointed out on page 13, I believe, of the insert. Is it page 13, Paul?
That is correct.
Okay.
It's all there in plain sight. There is a spiritual law in force that they tell you what you need to know. And I promise anyone that reads section 13, the inserts include section 13, the warning, no efficacy. In other words, vaccines aren't medicine. They're anything but, they're really a genocidal weapon. But not only that, they're not tested for carcinogenic or mutagenic effects, and I could go on and on and on, but when you get into about six syllable words, I better have a shot of espresso if I'm going to be better at it. But what I want to express is that, you guys, when it comes to scripture, I am very humbled. Prophecy means truth first, and then we always think of prophecy as being prediction, but it starts with being truth. And then, of course, we don't have this understanding of time that God has because he's outside of time. We have the iron laws of biology, and the iron laws of biology that are slowed down is that we are born, and until we're about 24, 25, until about 30, in some ways, we aren't getting older. We're getting better. But by about 30, the atrophy, the entropy, the degeneration is occurring. You know, you don't bounce back as quickly from exercise. If you were a booze hound or something like that, you don't recover as quickly. But anyway, I guess my point, you guys, is that I got people taking the jab. And now I'm starting to say prayers of hedge of protection, and yet it's just such a sad awakening that, you know, really, in the scheme of things, Stu, you've been at 38 years, I've been at 40 plus years, and Joffrey, we've known each other since infants. It does seem like some of us are more inclined to be skeptical and cautious that they care about us. Well, they care all right, but just not in the way we want. And
it's who can make war with the beast? And man, Charlie, if you can chime in, I'd love to hear from you. But the beast, you know, is it in our head, or does it have to be this micro dot patch, this micro array needle patch, like a bunch of serpent bites that we self-administer, that they can then seal all of our records that we can use to buy and sell? Is the mark of the beast really the phone inside our body? What do you guys think?
Well, I mean, it seems like we have to have a visible sign on our hand or forehead. So that's me. You know, I could say it's not here yet. I just don't believe it's here yet. But is it sorcery? Is it kind of magic? This vaccination, is that part of the intent? You know, a one step, two step, three step type of thing, where the first one maybe has its purpose, and then the second one, maybe that comes along and triggers the first one, and then the third one maybe reacts to the other two. I don't know. But and they've even talked about prions, where you have an injection, and then your body eventually starts to give off a contaminant that people
can go.
Yeah. So, I mean, are we, maybe they don't need everybody to be vaccinated. Maybe they just need a percentage of the population to find the end result that they're looking for. I can't say. But with certain poisons, you do have to inject one or give one, and then you give the second, then it reacts to the first. But the first one goes undetected. The second one plays its role. So we might have some kind of duopathy with this thing, and we might be further along in the destruction than we know. But can we also pray against this type of sorcery? Is that what they conjured up? You know, what is this that they're conjuring up? What is it we're infected with, that they wish to infect someone with? Call the vaccination. So we are, again, not only in the visible, but we are in the supernatural, in our spiritual battle. And maybe we can pray against this, the effect of this thing. Maybe that's our weapon back. You know, we pray against its ability to alter the mind or the body or the function of the human that they're trying to infect it with. I don't think we're helpless. I really don't. I think we've got a role to play, and it isn't over, and we're not dead, and we're not taking the dirt bath yet. We can still push back on this thing.
Yeah, I'm not going along to get along. I'm not going to take the dab pill shot. Stu, you go ahead.
I pretty much said what I have to say about this stuff. It's going to come down to a battle probably one of these days. But in the meantime, get battling with God. Warn angels. Send those warn angels after our enemy, Father. It's amazing what he does. So.
Joffrey, Stu didn't get a chance to participate. We've been back and forth on James, the first chapter of James. Can you wind this down with because James said we were going to be tested in his first chapter, first verse, and the whole first page of James. You came across two translations, one from 1909, one from 1911, and then I was in my King James Bible. Tell me what you got out of that first chapter or first page of James.
Well, I think my curiosity was more the wording of how you have pointed out that has our Bible changed. And to me, that's a curious thing, because if you are going to attack I'm gonna digress a quick second, but you know, we're seeing
take your time. I love hearing it.
When we have an attack on our country, what we see is, well, we got to get rid of the history of the country. We've got to go back now and we got to make them right so it fits our narrative, because the winners are the ones who write the history. So let's go back, and the winners were freedom, patriotism, this kind of thing. Let's whack the statues. Let's get the books out. Let's burn them. Let's take the Ten Commandments off the building. Let's do whatever we can in that destructive manner to alter the reality of the viewer, the listener, the reader, whatever you want to do. Now you come to Scripture. Well, what better way to alter the Word of God than to fudge the Word and have word magic on Scripture? And I had never really thought of that. It never crossed my mind that they could be so devious as to wish to change what we thought we knew. So in reading just some of the first few verses and passages of the different perspective, you do see a different interpretation. Now, I believe that Scripture is so clear in interpretation of the main point of there is a requirement that has to be paid. Man could not pay it. He could not cross the chasm to God. He had no right to cross the chasm to God. He was but a created entity. God allows us to be part of his family. He's the prodigal son story, you know. He cares. He reaches out to us. He runs to us, which is foreign to me, but that's how God is. You know, I sometimes have a hard time thinking God could love us that much. I don't see the redemptive quality. Thank goodness he's God, I'm not, because I don't see how redemptive we can be at times. I see a lot of disgust, really, honestly. But he reaches across that chasm. He allows for that connection with him. Oh, he allows us to peek into his glory through his word. We see this, and these interpretations, I do think, have changed a little bit. Now, I have not studied them to the extent you have at all. But just that opening chapter of James, just even reading the first part, just even the first chapter, there is a lot going on in one page of Scripture.
Indeed. And, you know, the one thing that all of my academia has taught me is what a bunch of nonsense and ridiculousness most of it is. And I'm not alone. I've got a couple knuckleheads that I get to meet with a couple times a week. And, you know, there's PhDs there, of course. And really what we've concluded is we've all been miseducated. And my whole deal on the Bible is I've been told a lot of things about the Bible. I've been told to throw away some of my Bibles. And then I've had other people say, well, you know, there is really a perfect translation. You really have to understand the original languages. You have to understand Hebrew. You have to understand Greek. And you have to differentiate the types of Greek that they're used and the type of Hebrew they're used. You have to know idioms. And basically, I am thoroughly humbled. And what I can say about the Bible is one needs to read it every day. And I'll tell you where I went wrong in my life. I stopped reading my Bible daily.
Amen to that.
That's one big takeaway. Stu, we were going to keep it shorter today and do another rebroadcast tomorrow. The vaccines are being administered in Israel. I am just so cautious and skeptical. Netanyahu, also known as Bill Kowalski. Nobody uses their real name anymore. And Netanyahu in Hebrew means gift from God. And so Benjamin Milikowski, educated in American high school and probably American universities, but now he's back in Israel. And apparently he's told everybody in Israel, you're going to be vaccinated. You're going to take the jab twice at least. And that's going to be your freedom. If you get the vax, you take the jab, you're going to get your freedom. Is there any chance that they would not be giving the people in Israel the real jab and it's a con game that they're playing? Or am I just being ridiculous? Of course, they would want to kill their own just like they want to kill us.
What's the Antichrist and the devil going to do in the last of days? I don't deny that Bibi Netanyahu plays a role in that. I think he plays a significant role. I think this current Pope plays a significant role. And I believe world leaders, a lot of them are playing a role into this. And these so-called Christian ministers that appear on TV are going to be shocked at all the deception that they put out. Some might be, some might not be. But Bibi Netanyahu, I believe he's on a vengeance, and I believe he's... Because March the 30th, they're going to have everybody in Israel vaccinated, they claim. Now, you're right. Are they really taking the vaccination? They're claiming they're taking the same vaccination as the Americans are taking, this Pfizer, whichever one it is. I don't know, Paul. I don't know, but I know one thing. What's he supposed to do? Supposed to kill two-thirds of the Israelis? two-thirds of Americans, two-thirds of the people on the planet? How are they going to get two-thirds of the people dead? Weather wars, starve them out, won't be food, be all these phantoms, starting revelations, they're there, diseases, phantoms, all this stuff. But it's all man-created. It's all man-created. That's my point.
Well, with some help, the technology has gone beyond even some of our imaginations. We got to close it off because Joffrey needs to get off. I need to pursue other things as well. Joffrey, you want to close this in prayer?
Sure. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wisdom. Thank you for the day. Thank you for the ability to think. Think about what's going on. Think about who's affected. Think about the lives that are being touched and the lives that are being affected by all of our things around the world. And just that we need to be aware of and to protect those that we love. We need to understand what it is we're up against. Give us wisdom in that understanding. I would pray that, God, you know the heart of man, and you know our intent. We turn to you for that cleansing. We need to be cleansed from all impurity. We need a righteous walk with you. We need to understand who we are in you and the ability we have through you, and we have the ability to call upon you, and you can deliver. I would ask that you would do so. I would ask that you would thwart this ability of this disease, this implication of what they're trying to do to us with this disease. That God, you would fight our fight for us, and those who have taken or subjected themselves to this thing that is ungodly, unholy, that you would undo power of such thing to those people who have subjected themselves or taken it unknowingly. I don't believe this is the total end of this individual's life, but it's certainly life-altering, in my opinion. So I would ask you would protect us all, God, and under your blood and your grace, you would do so, and we turn to you and turn everything over to you. In your most holy, precious name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, thank you, guys.
Thank you, Bob. Right, thank guys. You, Jeff. Thank you, Dave.
You bet. We'll see you, man.
Okay, take care.
Take care.
Yeah, bye.